Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three, about 20 minutes in, and I'm laughing. I had to run downstairs because there was a delivery. I got the email notice, and I wanted some grapefruit from Florida. In fact, for those of you that head to OBS, you know, right outside of Ocala is the town of Citra. C-I-T-R-A, Citra, and the Orange Shop. And years ago, I drove to Florida, kind of an odyssey. It's one of those odyssey trips, because I was going to be there for like 2 months. My mother was sick down in Boynton Beach. And so I wanted my car, and I had a lot of clothes and whatnot. So anyway, one of the first stops was in Ocala, and I was driving by, as approaching Ocala, I see this Orange Shop, and literally it's called the Orange Shop. And so I stopped, and it literally is like a throwback, you know, 50s era roadside stand, but they have apparently big groves. So I've been ordering citrus from them ever since. And actually, I've told you the story about Page oranges. I know this is it's so easy for me to get sidetracked, but I remember buying a bag of, I'd never heard of them before. Page oranges. They're the size of like a ping pong ball. They're even smaller than clementines. And then I learned all about them. They were developed out of around World War II, and it was a project, I don't know, the USDA, and they're tough to peel, but they're the sweetest things. There isn't another piece of citrus, another orange as sweet as a Page orange. And I don't even know how many Page groves there are. They're only available for like 5 weeks. From like mid-December to mid-January. It's a very odd ball thing. Anyway, I got them at this orange shop. And so at some point during the winter, I ordered grapefruits and you know, mix. And so Tina, it wasn't enough that I cut the grapefruit in half and then, you know, with the knife, you know, with that serrated knife, you know, cut out the sections. Now, before school, I'm supposed to peel the grapefruits for her. And I don't know if you've ever tried to peel a grapefruit. Tom Hanks had an easier time with coconuts on that island in Castaway than you will have trying to peel a grapefruit. First, you get the big thick skin off. Okay, that's number one. Then there's like this protective membrane that you have to peel off. It's like impossible. It takes like 15 minutes, but now she's gotten into this thing where she has to have a grapefruit in her. I gotta send her to school with a grapefruit that I've, you know, peeled and carefully. So there's another like 18 grapefruits that just came. I wanted to get them off, you know, off the stoop because it's cold out. So there's today's wacky aside. I thought I was killing time, but Chris was here the whole time, and I hope he's laughing a little bit. Chris Griffin, good morning.
Best segue ever. I mean, fruit, and 12% takeout. That's, life doesn't get much better than that. Anyway, you know, I'll tell you, and I don't know announcers why, because I've always thought about like what everybody eats in the booth, and I've tried to snack on fruit and stuff like that, but it's a bad situation. You're talking about peeling things and whatnot.
Yes.
It's a bad deal. Like you oranges especially. So I'm a dried fruit kind of guy in the booth.
That's like smart. That's smart, yeah. Dried fruit. Apricots and raisins and whatnot. Nuts, maybe some nuts.
Yeah, you gotta get those smaller bags though, because if you get the big bags, you know us announcers, we polish off the whole thing. It's 1 to 5, and that whole bag is going to be gone by about the third. So it's, I go for the smaller bag sometimes.
Well, as long as it's you don't have the problem that Jason Beam seems to have, which is swallowing large bugs.
We've all done it a time or two.
Right?
I had a bee chase me around in Pleasanton one time during a race. And
that's funny.
It's a fun activity, man. You know, it brings you back down to earth. You know, you're like, man, I'm calling races and enjoying life. Like, that's what it's about. You know, this bee just has no clue that there's a pick four with some serious wheel pays going on, but he just wants to intrude on the day.
Too funny. Well, there we go. You never know. You never know what's going to come up here. The first order of business, though, with your visit is going over Saturday night. And, you know, we visited last week and you know, had looked at a Thursday card, but, you know, then we looked ahead to the preview and it came off great. And they're actually, you know, in addition to some of the heavy favorites that came through, there was some interesting results.
Yeah, you got some value a little later on the card, and you know, Sunlit Song and Redditory, we saw that as the matchup, and as will sometimes happen, it'll be a horse that you weren't really expecting or taking a look at. And in the post race interview, actually, they talked about Moochab Jr. and some of the issues he had in the prior race. So you know, they fixed that, corrected it, and he came flying late. And we talked about that 0-for-6 at 1/16 for Sunlit Song, and I guess just made him a little vulnerable in that spot. But he gets wired there in the turf event, and you get a 10-to-1 winner. And Direct Dial did what he had to do, and you know, Star of the North, she's just got plenty of options as far as what she can do and where she can go for her owners. And it was just a nice night. You know, we got some nice weather. We got great weather on tap this week, and it's nice to just see some sun and just get on the turf and have some good racing. But it was a nice day to celebrate Texas Preview, and it'll set us up nicely for Texas Champions. I guess from a handicapping standpoint, maybe you take a look at, because we did reschedule 1 week later, but we didn't move the Texas Champions Day date. So, you know, from a handicapping standpoint, maybe you keep an eye on, you know, how horses are coming into that event with one less week, I guess, of some of that preparation. You know, if you take a look at those things, maybe something for your handicapping, and I'm sure something we'll talk about as we get closer to March 20th.
Well, and as for a quick survey of some of the ones we just mentioned, it was Moochab Jr. in that turf at almost 11-to-1. That for Paul Duhon and owner John Pierce the second. This was bred by Jose Luis Espinoza. This is a 7-year-old gelding, and it's kind of funny. I get a kick out of Moochab Jr. Being. You know, being the son of Moochab, who was a Smarty Jones himself, and you mentioned Beat Sunlit Song, Star of the North for Cisco Bravo, and owner Michael Grossman. This is a daughter of The Hunk, and Rye Eichelberry aboard, Star of the North, now 4-for-5, 2-to-5 in that spot. You had Direct Dial at 1-to-2 for Steve Asmussen and Mr. Farish. And, of course, a Farish Homebred by Too Much Bling. The two that we didn't mention, I'm a Discreet Lady, able to beat Miss Perfecta. And basically, you know, took control. And no matter what Kennedy did, just could not get to Eichelberry and the Broberg Discreet Catmare.
Yes, speed's been good on the turf course the last few events and the last few cards that we've covered. And she's a classy horse, 5-year-old mare, and she got a nice draw. And, yeah, right, took it right to Miss Perfecta, and you got a touch of value there, you know, kind of came down off of that morning line. But I'm a Discreet Lady. You just weren't sure how she was going to come back, and she came back very well. So I'm sure she'll be seen here on March 20th as well, and she's got some options for her, and she's a nice Texas bred, and the tactics that they employed there, it kind of goes back to that two-back effort there at Lone Star that just showed some speed. And when she gets to the front, she's tough to catch.
This was Broberg and owners...
Raymond Todd White and Dwayne Coker. Dwayne
yes, Coker. Raymond, yes. Yeah. Bred by Larry Hunsaker. And this is, I tell you, this was one of those situations. You know, we brought this up last week. These state bred stakes, horses coming off of efforts against open company. And she found, you know, she was sprinting on the main track. This is an interesting record that she's assembling too, Chris. She clearly, you know, here's a second stake win. She won that Fiesta Mile at Lone Star back last August, and yet the rest of the time Broberg's got her sprinting on the dirt, and she's won stakes on, you know, doing that. She won the Yellow Rose at Lone Star going six, but she's versatile and interesting. She's building a nice record for herself. She's over 300,000. She's 8 for 23.
Yeah, versatility is so nice. When you have a horse that can do a myriad of different things, when they can go two turns on the turf and then they can go right back into a, you know, a 6 furlong sprint and go ahead and win a race like that, it gives you so many options. And she's just a fun horse, I'm sure, to have around. She's nice to look at. And she will be seen in this region again, and probably in many different spots, and you'll have to take a look at her because she's going to be either vying for favoritism or one of your top three or four betting choices. So one to watch, one to follow, definitely.
Stone Cafe with a slight upset went second choice at 5-2. This was in the Jim's Orbit, and this Stone Cider Gelding for Brett Calhoun and the Scarboroughs, this was a nice effort, and this is actually a horse that has not had not won since breaking the maiden at Remington for 25.
Yeah, this is the one that just kind of was gnawing at me a little bit because I think I handicapped it correct. You know, Carbon Striker had moved from that outside post to the inside post, and Carbon Striker got it all wrong just at the start. Just didn't break very quickly and couldn't get to the front. Then was in behind horses. It was a really tough trip for your favorite. So I wouldn't knock him too much off of that effort. If he gets a little bit of a better post next time, I think he's one to keep an eye on because his price will probably float back up. I had taken Island Sun, and at the head of the stretch, I thought I had a shot in there at a little bit of a price. Just came up a little short, and then yeah, you see the two Calhoun runners come on the outside. Dustin actually probably ran the biggest race because Dustin hopped straight up in the air at the start, gave him about three or four lengths, and then was rolling late. Just missed of the stablemate, and yeah, they worked out the right trip. I think this was, from a trip handicapping standpoint, if you want to take a look at a race, the Jim's Orbit is the race to watch because there were a lot of unlucky trips. There were some slow starts, and I think that there's going to be a lot of improvements from some runners, and there's other runners that had maybe perfect trips that just weren't good enough. So keep an eye on it. But if Carbon Striker gets a better post next time out, I would keep an eye on that one.
Well, a nice evening of action at Sam Houston. And I think I also saw that that it was a big handle night too, right? Close to $3
million? Excuse me. Yeah, close to $3 million. It was a nice card, 12 races, and had a couple of Arabian races to start out the card. But we ended up running pretty late into the evening. I think we were actually still going, and some of the West Coast tracks were all done. But it was a nice night, and there were people getting involved and enjoying the wagering action. And it's nice to see, you know, it looked like a card where you saw a lot of possible short price favorites, and short price favorites did win. But again, you caught the value. I think when Mujab Jr. won, obviously it knocks out a lot of tickets. You get a double digit winner. It just creates a bit more of an energy, too, I think. I think when you get one of those price horses in there, then the betting action is really fully in play. And we did have fans on site, and they get excited when things like that happen. You can see a lot more celebrating when they connect with a 10-1, 11-1 shot. And then we close things out with a 23-1 winner that I had actually selected here on track. So that was a nice way to finish it out. Of course, I didn't pick it on your show or give out the selection to you or anything like that.
That's all right.
Karen Jacks actually had a real nice week. last week. She had a few winners and some really impressive efforts, and she won the nightcap at 23-1. And whoever played that Houston High Five, they actually took the jackpot down, Steve, on Saturday, over 80, I want to say 82,000, might have been 84,000, but over $80,000, 20 cent minimum, somebody hit the jackpot, so that will start all over today.
Wow. All right. Let's talk about today and give everybody a couple of ideas. 5:10 Eastern time for the first post. Looks like, yeah, 10 race card, 8 tomorrow and 10 on Friday. Trying to, obviously, with some of those loss, we talked about this last week, you know, trying to get some of those races made up here over the course of the next few weeks.
Yeah, it's nice racing this week on tap. We don't have the 12 and 12 like you saw last week. But, yeah, we'll have 10 races tonight. Tonight's card is this afternoon's card is tough. I think there's some really tough races in that pick six sequence. If you can put the pick six together, I don't think you're going to see a ton of short price favorites in this sequence. At that 50 cent with non-jackpot, could be in line for a nice score, or we could look at another carryover type situation, just depending on how big the pools get. This is a really wide open card here tonight. Tomorrow's card, like you said, 8 cards, maybe a little bit light, but you know, we'll bounce back and come back for the weekend as well. And all should be well here for this week of racing, and then we get cranked up for Texas Champions Day as well. But yeah, there's a few races in the sequence that I like. I guess race number 9 is an interesting one for me. This is probably one of my stronger opinions on the night. At 6 furlongs, this $5,000 claiming event in here, and I think that Wakefield is going to take a lot of money. It's 7-5 on the morning line. That looks about right. The cutback, though, from 7 furlongs to 6 furlongs, the horse had shown speed at 7. He didn't show a ton of speed off at 5.5. I think that Ribbon Kane can actually outrun him towards the outside. The other one that's interesting is Moro Charlie. They're both going to be towards the outside. I think they have a better post than what's going to be your favorite. But Ribbon Kane, Danny Pitch's barn, it looked like kind of early on in the meet, they were, I hate to say slow starting, but, you know, just kind of getting some of these horses back into that big racing shape that we know so well from this barn. And I think second time out, they've just been firing a lot more on a consistent basis. So this horse was odds on last time, finished behind Men of Kyle, who ended up winning that race. I think tactically he sits in a nice position here. The 6 furlongs concerns me a little bit, but I just think you have a tighter racehorse and you're going to catch value because he was odds on last time and now he's 3-1 on the morning line. So I think anything that is over that 3-1 or right around that 3-1, I really like the 8 Ribbon Kane there in tonight's night. If I was going to look at some of the other races on the card, obviously everybody loves when we get on the John B. Connolly turf course. At 5 furlongs there, that turf sprint, really nice allowance event in there. I'm going to go with the 2-1 shot Sierra Hotel, but I would spread in this race. I think you got to go a little bit deeper on the ticket because Super Brady can run. Soul Ready, that one didn't do anything wrong at the $25,000 at 2 level. Even to the inside, Reverend AJ's got a big shot in there. So race number 8 is just a real tough event there at 5 furlong sprinting. Race number 7, I'm bouncing around a little bit, but it's 6.5. Ardenly Star, the 6. Sophie Doyle, Frank Lucarelli. Had shown speed at the 15,000. Now wins the 3. Lost to Southgate in there. But the second place finisher was Gunner Celestic Man. Gunner Celestic Man has been one of the most unique horses during this meet because he hasn't won, but he's run really solid races at massive, massive prices. So look for Gunner Celestic Man in the next spot. It could be on Texas Champions Day because he ran second in the stake. But finishing behind that runner, finishing behind Southgate, I think there's some improvement here in what I felt like Ardenly Star could be in a real nice, if not on the lead stalking trip in this spot. 6-1 Sophie Doyle, Frank Lucarelli. I like it. I like this horse in this spot, and I think has a big shot.
Nice. 6-1 on the 6. Doyle Lucarelli, 7th race, 15,000 non-3 lifetime. And there is a turf sprint for 3-year-old fillies. And I was actually pleased when I noticed, when I saw that the Calhoun returnee, the 3-year-old mid-year, was 8-1. You got any thoughts about, there is the firster from Asmussen with Elliott, the more than lucky, the eight horse, and Brad Cox has got one that, you know, certainly is eligible. And I even brought up Vinkaya, with him, earlier this morning. But if we're looking for a price, I thought mid-year was an option, the four.
Yeah, I can definitely see it. The blinkers do go on. $70,000 purchase price, as you said, from that race at Churchill. Obviously, just took some time off. Toby's Heart just ran at Gulfstream last weekend, I think.
Talked to Brian earlier.
Yeah, and it ran okay. The horse ran okay, so maybe coming out of that race behind a horse that ended up in a stake, you know, maybe that's definitely something to look at for connections that know how to connect, and if you catch them at 8-1, I like it. I think Flat Out Larceny is kind of interesting, too, the three right to the inside. They wanted to get the horse on the grass. Obviously wanted to do it last time, but that got rained off and put on the main track. Scott Young has just been connecting left and right, and he's been doing it at prices, and you got to figure out when you can catch his horse. I know it ran and made 50 last time out, but I think that this horse wants the turf and gets on it here this afternoon. So I think that's one that could outrun. Vinkaya is going to be tough to the outside because of the controlling speed. If that horse shows the same speed as last time, Michael Berry's been pushing a lot of the right buttons as well on the turf course and putting them out front and finding the right spot. With an outside post like this, don't you think that the nine can kind of dictate things pretty clearly? The eight concerns me from where that horse is going to be placed from a speed standpoint. I'm not sure I'm seeing too much early gas from this one, but I could be wrong. Gurkha Gold's even interesting the outside. It's a nice maiden event. It's a nice little race in there. Vinkaya is a deserving favorite. That's going to be my top choice in the race, but there is some value to be had.
Agreed. Of course, that starts the late pick five as well. And the Space City starts in the fifth. And I suppose we should at least we pretty much went over the whole thing almost. How do you start the Space City?
Well, race 10 to close things out is a really difficult race. So you're a good handicapper if you've gotten to that point, but you probably have to go a little bit deep, I think. In this race, it starts real tough too, because the 10,000 hour is a two going the 7 furlongs. Now, the horses that have shown speed at around 5.5 furlongs, if I've seen that in the prior form, they just seem to have been the winning move for me during the races here going 7 furlongs. It just happened. I mean, I've had some winners, on-top winners selected, and they were showing speed at about 5.5, and they were able to keep going at 7 furlongs. So for me, if I take a look at that, which horse is going to fit that profile for me, it's going to be the 4 Tic Tac Moe. Leandro Gonsalves, this horse has shown speed at Remington Park at the 7,500 now, whereas at 2 level. I'd like the stretch out. I like the move to 7 furlongs in here, has run the distance and finished second. J.R. Caldwell has just been pressing all the right buttons all meet. Leandro Gonsalves, when they've teamed up, it's been a very, very good partnership. You're going to get 6-1 on a horse to start out the sequence. And if you get back to that three-back effort there on December 7th, I think this horse wins. I think the horse wins the race. So a lot of things to like for me. I think the horse is in line for a nice effort, and I'm just following a handicapping trend that's working for me this meet. Is like I say, if somebody's been showing that speed at 5.5, just seems like at 7 furlongs they've been running really, really well. So horse ran at Oaklawn Park last time, 10,000 hours at 2. Take that effort, kind of what you think, and come right back. But 6-1, I like that one, the number 4 Tic Tac Moe.
I'll give you a crazy price, a last out winner that on the outside, that Kyle's Bro Jimmy.
Yeah, I remember. I picked that horse on top last time. Yeah, I remember. 4-year-old gelding.
20-1, lightly raced, broke through. This is a very tough way to start. To start a pick six. Holy cow. This is a murky bunch. Chris, it's a nice start to the week. 10 race card tonight, this afternoon, and into the night at Sam Houston. Tomorrow, the 8 race card, the Thursday starts at 5:02 Eastern time, and then Friday night under the lights. starting at 7:45 Eastern, Sam Houston Race Park. Chris, I appreciate it. We'll catch up next week.
Always great, Steve. Thank you so much. Enjoy your fruit.
I will. It's more for the wife, but I just get to operate on it in the morning. You have no idea what goes on here. Keeping the Tina happy. It's
enjoy, brother. Enjoy.
Thanks a lot. It's a full-time job. We're going to stay right here. We've got about 15 minutes, a little less. I think, Seth, if you're listening, I don't think we're going to get to you today. We will get you in here Thursday for some Thursday conversation. Seth Merrow, for those of you that have been waiting for your Tampa push, Seth will have it at CapitalOTB.com, because standing by is Eric Hallstrom. We've been promising all week, and or at least all morning. Yesterday, the Indiana Commission passing the season's program and some of the changes, and we are amazingly not far away from the start of the season at Indiana Grand after last year's tremendous season. Eric Hallstrom, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. Good talking to you again.
I wanted to get you in here while people saw the headlines, and racing is going to return April 13th, which is, you know, 4 weeks essentially and change, and goes to November. We're certainly looking forward to it. But you, once again, in getting ready for the year, you're going out of your way to appreciate the horse players, talk about what you floated and what the Racing Commission approved for you guys when it came to the wagering offers.
Yeah, we're very happy. We've got a really good relationship with our, not only our horsemen, but our Racing Commission here, and they did approve all of our requests. You know, some of this was, quite frankly, probably long overdue. The first one being the scenario where a race comes off the turf after the pools have closed in one of our pick wagers. And listen, last year we took a little bit of abuse for the substituting a post-time favorite, and I understood. The problem with it is that the wheels of changing rules and that process are very slow. And I could go through it. I won't bore you with it, but it took us till about March, and we figured by the 2021 meet we'd be ready. But we did get that approved. So from here on out, when you make your bet, assuming we're going to be on the turf, and then we get those flash storms that you seem to get here in Indiana, you're protected. You'll have an all in that race. So we're happy about that one. We also went back to trying to be a little more of an option for our pick players in the terms of takeout reduction. You know, last year we had a huge success with our pick five. It was far more than we anticipated at 11.99%. That's back. We have to get agreement from our horsemen on all of this, and they were excited to do that as well. In addition to that, we have lowered the takeout on our pick four and our straight fire pick six to 15% this year. So any of the four through six, you're getting quite a discount from what would normally be the takeout in Indiana.
Well, and you know, the happens that adjustment on the, you know, basically giving the all on the off the turf, this is a point of contention that, you know, players have had for ages. And one thing that we've all kind of been waiting and watching and hoping for in that regard, Eric, is the ability on tickets, on building tickets to put in an option and, you know, essentially have alternates in the various stages, so that, you know, the marketplaces that have been giving us, you know, New York does this, you know, you get the post time favorite. And in a lot of cases, I mean, it's infuriating to people because either they've already had the post time favorite covered, or they're, you know, they built their ticket with the thought of beating the post time favorite. So, you know, you basically have a decision forced on you. And so from that standpoint, you know, what you guys did here is an attempt to more than placate. It's an attempt to basically, you know, keep people from being given a horse that they had no interest in having.
Yeah, it's just fair. You know, I'm a weekend horse player. I wish I could play 7 days a week. I'm too busy the other days, so I don't get the chance. But I've been in the same spot where, you know, you got one of your pick wagers going, and you know that there's some weather coming, and you're, you know, keeping one eye on the sky, and then bad luck sets in, and there you go, you're off the turf, and you end up with some horse you just absolutely do not want. And that's not, in a perfect world, we'd have the tote technology to make everybody, allow everybody to get the horse and make changes like that. I just don't see it coming for any time here where that's widespread throughout the country. So anyway, this is as best as we can do on that. And I can tell you from an operator standpoint, you know, not even playing the races, there's nothing worse than a midday storm. It's you're keeping one eye in the sky and hoping. And I was just with our track superintendent, Roy Smith, and told him about this change. And, you know, he wiped his brow as I'm like, wow, I feel better. Because the thought of putting your customers in a spot they don't want to be without any choice is not a good way to go about your business. But there really was no option before now. Now, well, at least people have some protection built in when weather comes through. And it seems like in Indiana, it comes out of nowhere. I'm sure it feels like that everywhere. But my first summer here last year, I saw some storms pop up that literally came out of nowhere. So anyway, we feel good about that and appreciate the Racing Commission here being understanding.
Well, I think it was met with general approval, right? I mean, I know there's always going to be, you know, a person or two that you can't satisfy every single player that and their approach. But, you know, between the, you know, the lowering of the multi numbers, I will ask, I did see where somebody said, can you work on the whips? What's your thoughts, Eric, on trying to whittle down further on the win play show takeout?
Yeah, it's probably the next discussion that we have here. And I, you know, that one is, you know, in Indiana, we're at 18, and it's my eyes, that's on the higher side of win play show takeout. We, you know, we're building we're constructing a big building here, and we're just in the beginning stages of getting everything perfect. And, you know, that'll be the next project we talk about, is whether not just whips, but some of the other exotics are fairly priced. I do, I'm a big believer in takeout being, you know, a driver for customers. And, you know, I think that's something that down the road we'll talk about again and see if it really is material to us here. You know, there's two sides of it, because every time you do that, you're, as a business here, we have to figure out what that means for us as well. So there's a balance, but you know, probably takes a little bit of study that, quite frankly, we haven't gotten into yet on the whips. So,
well, overall, you know, based on last year and adding to some of the, you know, the changes that put you guys right in the, you know, in the focus of players, it feels like that momentum will carry through to this year. Where do you stand? I saw you where you addressed a little bit, you know, some of the decisions were in terms of scheduling was with attendance, potential attendance in mind, and, you know, the percentage of, you know, of the building that can be utilized for attendance. Where do you stand so far looking ahead?
It's probably going to be where we left off last year, which is an extreme disappointment. And I will say, you know, we had what you're referring to is we changed one of our race days. We're not going to run on May 1st as we originally planned. And, you know, back in August of last year, when we start thinking about race dates for the next year, you know, I had this grand plan of, let's use Kentucky Derby Day for live racing. We'll involve the community. It'll be a kind of a welcome back to racing on track, and it's going to be great. Well, you know, here we are in February staring at positivity rates that are kind of off the charts. And it was immediately understood at that point that, you know, we weren't going to be able to be at full capacity by May 1st. And if we were, it would be take a miracle. And you can't bet on miracles. So we've decided to move that racing day to the end of the year. And Kentucky Derby Day will still be great. We'll still have a crowd that will have a lot of fun here on track. But the thought of a capacity of, say, 1,500 people and having 3,000 people lined up down the sidewalk waiting to get in, it just is not something we wanted to get into. So
sure.
We'll figure it out. Now, I will say this, much like the rest of the country, the trends here are positive, are very good, I should say, in terms of people getting vaccinated and feeling comfortable about some things. In fact, we're waiting for an announcement from the state of Indiana today for, assuming that the positivity rates end up being where they have been the last couple of weeks, it will allow us more capacity, not only in our building here, but in our adjacent casino, which is very important. You know, it's the biggest driver of purses that we have. So we got some good things coming up here, and being about 5 weeks away from racing is one of them. We just can't wait. We've got some really positive feelings about how the meet's going to go.
Well, looking forward to kicking it off when the time comes, and we'll go over the new stakes names when we get that. That was a fun winter activity, and I can tell already people getting excited about Indiana for this year, and you and the team doing everything you can to welcome the players back, particularly. And Eric, I appreciate it, and we'll talk in just a few weeks ahead of the meet.
That sounds great. Looking forward to being partners again, Steve.
Eric A. Hallstrom, everybody. Follow Eric and the whole team, which includes Nancy and of course, Bill Downs and Rachel. And they really became, I think, for a lot of people, just part of the daily racing activity. And once you get into, once you get into a venue and you start to play it, you just begin to look forward when you're doing what they've been doing, making all these nice moves to appreciate, the players and to show a lot of respect for players with these efforts. Well done. This was a blur today. Brad Cox and Brian Lynch early. And then, of course, Sid. We had a fun morning on the breeding and stallion conversations between Sid and then Leray Visage and Aaron Robinson from Rock Ridge. Top option for you here in New York. Chris Griffin. watch out for those bugs in the in the crow's nest. And Eric Allstrom. Tomorrow, be looking forward to all of these terrific cards that are going to be drawn today. Santa Anita and Tampa and Aqueduct. Good luck if you're playing today. I didn't get a chance to go over some of the form to win results, but there were a couple of hits yesterday. Popo had one at Turf Paradise. I had one at Parks. It's just crazy. We'll do another one with Papo tomorrow or Friday. Definitely for Friday going into the weekend. Replay 6 to 9 here on SiriusXM. Of course, HRRN coverage here. It's Wednesday, so HRRN coverage starts this afternoon. And we'll talk to you in the morning. Thanks, everybody.
Racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on SiriusXM Radio.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.